Everybody here. We have a special guest coming. He's not arrived yet. The Senator Hatch wants to speak to us, and I'm looking forward to the spotlight on Weber County. Sounds exciting to me. And because all I hear is everything's happening in Weber County and Ogden City. That's all I ever hear.
Absolutely true.
So the propaganda machine is working.
Everything's good.
So we want to start by introducing everyone. So let's start over here.
With Senator Hatch. My name is Dirk Burton. I'm with West Jordan City. You may have heard of us in the news lately.
Dirk Timothy, Bluffdale City.
Mark Allen, Weber County.
Good boy.
Gary Pearson, WFRC staff.
Evan Curtis, State Planning Coordinator.
Karen Furman, Bob Seller, County.
Brett Milburn, Davis County.
Beth Holbrook, Utah Lee.
Joanne Sakini, Midvale City, Salt Lake County.
Carrie Gibson, Weber County Commission.
Mike Humble, Ogden City.
Tom Dolan, Sandy.
Andrew Verber, WFRC.
Bill Applegarth, Riverton City.
Harry Long, South City.
Ben Arvey, North Salt Lake.
Brent Marshall, Grantsville City, Coyle County.
John Barber, Morgan County.
Freeman, Herman City.
Kelvin Cullimore, Cottonwood Heights.
Representative Dean from Weber County.
James Ebert, Weber County Commission.
Carlton Christensen, representing Mayor McAdams of Salt Lake County. As he showed up.
Then you're gone.
Then I'm gone.
And I'm Joyce Brown, Lake City, representing Boston.
Okay, let's since we're over here, let's start over here in the corner.
Susie Scrum with the council staff.
John Yuski, Sandy City.
David Lepetto, New Orleans.
Linda Johnson, Brady, Utah.
That's Civil Utah Transit Authority.
Muriel Searchmill, WFRC staff.
Marlon Hogan, Morgan County.
Ned Hacker, WFRC.
Nathan Lee, Utah DOT.
Brian Adams, Region 2, Utah.
Regina Nelson, Coyle County Sheriff's Office.
Eric Perry, Utah Communications Authority.
Andrew Bromwell, Agent.
John Larson with Council Staff.
Colin Wilbanks, Weber County. Dominica Watkins, Weber County.
Heather McLaughlin, Coyle County Sheriff's Office.
Robert Bonker, Council Staff.
Karen Forbes, Staff.
Renee Bogley, Council Staff.
Amber Gonzalez, WFRC Staff.
Ken Moulton, WFRC.
David Marrero, Federal Highway Administration.
Steve Call, Federal Highway Administration.
Scott Feston, Council Staff.
Before we leave the celebrity in the corner here, Jerry Benson has joined us. Congratulations, Jerry.
Thank you very much.
Confirmation week, so
We've already done it. Don't worry.
Ben is Rich, West Central Region of Council Staff.
Denise Davenport, also with Council Staff.
Kevin Townsend, WFRC Staff.
Julia Collins, WFRC Staff.
Scott Hess, WFRC Staff. Got our Council Staff. Ryan Beck, with Division Utah.
Kip Billings, West Central Region of Council Staff.
I'm Nick Wyatt. I work for Orrin Hatch on his finance staff.
Well, thank you all. Let's go to item one and the consent calendar. Do we have a motion on item A?
So
moved. And a second. We have a motion. Any questions on the motions or corrections?
I missed two.
Two corrections?
No, I missed two motions.
Oh, who made the motion? Second. Okay.
Marshall.
All in favor?
Aye.
And then the financial statements. Any questions on those? Moving on, and then we have a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion is second. Any others? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay. We'll, in our waiting for the senator to get here, I had the opportunity to be at two events with the senator last week. One of them I had to wear a suit for. He didn't recognize me. Actually, I'm going to move to the public comment right now. So,
Mr. Chairman,
Chairman. I'm Regina from Toole County Sheriff's Office, but I also represent the Wasatch Front Regional Council on the 911 Advisory Committee. Just wanted to introduce myself to you, and if there's anything you guys need, if you want us to come back and present at a future date, we'd like that to give you guys an idea of what the 911 committee's been up to. I also have Eric Perry.
Hi, I'm Eric Perry. I'm the program manager for the 911 program in the state of Utah. And I oversee the 911 advisory committee, and we're here to represent ourselves and provide any answers to any questions you guys might have about what's going on within your district with 911.
Are there any questions?
What's going on?
Seeing none, well, thank you for coming. Thank you for representing us.
Yeah.
Oh, you did have a question?
No, I don't have a question, but it might be helpful at some point in the future to have a slight presentation.
Yes.
We can put that on the schedule at some point in time.
Thank you. That's a good idea. Community Spotlight. I want to go to that because I'm anxious to see this. We've been waiting for a couple of months, and there must be a lot going on.
We got a few irons in them.
Mayor Caldwell, who's now the leading city in the nation for whatever.
For everything.
Utah's number one in the nation. Ogden's number one.
That's not quite true, but we put together a little video presentation. We've done this in a bunch of formats throughout. It gives you a little bit of history on Ogden and talks a little bit about where we're going, and then if the commissioners will get up with me after, we can talk about what we see happening in the next few years, and we appreciate the opportunity to present.
You're going
to
see, we're going to have the commissioner sing and dance?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm dancing DC.
I'll play the harmonica.
I'm leaving.
Prior to Junction City in the early 1900s, Ogden was the transfer point between the Union Pacific and Central Pacific Railroads. More than 100 trains a day stopped at Ogden's Union Station, filled with people traveling in every direction imaginable. In its heyday, there were more millionaires per capita in Ogden than any other city in the United States. The railroad and the stockyards brought captains of industry to Ogden, along with U.S. presidents, celebrities, and servicemen from across the country. They converged along notorious 25th Street's coffee shops, bars, and various hotels. But then the train stopped, and as rails gave way to sleek interstate systems and extravagant passenger jets, the once bustling Ogden began to fade. It was the end of one Ogden and the beginning of another. Between 1950 and the late 1990s, the city fell into a period of decay. The town was crippled with economic depression and crime. And what came next was little more than boarded up buildings slowly crumbling. The railroad had left, and Ogden had nothing to take its place. In 1998, Outside Magazine ran a piece about undiscovered gems in the ski world. It highlighted Snow Basin for its complete lack of crowds and excellent terrain. But they felt obligated to let their readers know there was a downside. The price for skiing this hidden treasure, they said, is staying in the charmless town of Ogden. This was the same Outside Magazine that 10 years later would proclaim Ogden one of the 20 best towns in America. After the 2002 Winter Olympics, which hosted events in Ogden, the community began to rebuild itself around the outdoors. Outdoor companies such as Amir Sports, home to the Atomic, Solomon, and Suunto brands, were recruited in Ogden. Taking a risk, Ogden also turned a shuttered military depot into a thriving business park that's now home to 6,000 jobs for recreation companies such as Osprey Packs, Scott USA, and advanced industry companies that include Autoleaf, Barnes Aerospace, White Clouds 3D Printing, Esurance, and Wayfair. A dilapidated stockyard is now becoming a lifestyle park for outdoor recreation manufacturers such as Envy Composites. The site offers unparalleled access to outdoor amenities like the Weber River and bike tracks where new product ideas can be tested. The Ogden Airport is becoming a hub for aerospace and aviation companies. Thanks to its runway-adjacent properties and proximity to Hill Air Force Base, companies such as Northrop Grumman, Williams International, Boeing, and AirMed have chosen to locate at Ogden. The airport also offers commercial services, with an eye toward becoming Northern Utah's passenger hub for Western cities. New tech companies are emerging from the start of Ogden App and Software Accelerator. These are the industries that will bring not only new jobs to the area, but high-quality, high-wage jobs that will sustain our good families.
As we approach the first day of spring, we take you to a city in the midst of a decades-long renewal plan out in Utah. Once a dying railroad hub, now one of Brookings' top metro areas for advanced manufacturing. One of Forbes' best cities to raise a family, but it has the narrowest wealth gap in the country.
For the past 16 years, this once-down and out town has been swinging back. Thanks to patient, cooperative, and careful reinvestment by the government, business, and investors.
Downtown Ogden has been revitalized with new businesses, housing, and public gathering places made even greater than what stood in the glory days. And the thorns that once filled Ogden's streets have returned. Ogden is committed to long-term projects which incorporate restaurant and retail spaces, meeting and efficient facilities, world-class museums and art galleries, and most importantly, quality neighborhoods. Using the solid historic structures from Ogden's past, new opportunities are being discovered to develop and repurpose these facilities for tomorrow's business ventures. The foundation is being set up for cabins of industry to converge in Ogden once again, where they will be able to share their ideas, dreams, and strategies that will shape the future.
Nice.
Thanks for that. Put yourself far better story than I think any of us ever could. And we're obviously real proud of it. It was some of that video, some of the things you can't mention is Al Capone once got off the trains on 25th Street, got right back on and said it's way too dangerous of a place for him. And so I don't know, there are many other cities in the state of Utah where Al Capone wouldn't have felt more than comfortable if he wasn't being threatened. And so we're real proud of that history, and we're really proud of where we're going and what's happening. Some of those things that have happened in the last number of years, some of that national media attention was there. Just 2 weeks ago, though, we were rated in the top 10 by CNBC as one of the top 10 places to start a business in the United States. When you just look at all the infrastructure and everything that goes into that. It's been a collaborative effort from a lot of different people. We appreciate the working relationship we have with Weber County and with WFRC and so many others. The biggest limiter we're going to have to our growth in the next little while, though, is what you guys address in this room in terms of infrastructure and transportation. They mentioned a couple of the different things that we've got going, that lifestyle business park, Renby Composites is building. We've got, in the last 3 weeks, we closed over 1 million square feet of new industrial space at that BDO park. And the challenge on us is how do we keep up with that and not completely overwhelm the streets that we have and our interchanges and infrastructure. A lot of you have heard me really push the 24th Street interchange that goes right into the heart of our downtown. That's a half interchange now. Carlos is shaking his head trying to play ignorance. That is one of the things we really need to have and one of the things you guys help us put together and talk to our kind legislators about and everything else. And so the work you guys do in here really does help and impact us as we look to the future. We're obviously really proud of what Ogden's done. We're extremely proud of what the state's done when you look at what the governor's office does for economic development, our different departments, what EDC Utah does. This is a really, really good time to be leading in this great state of ours, and I'm really proud of that. And I know the commissioners have a few things they wanted to mention, and I won't hog the stage up here, but we do appreciate the work that this committee does. And we think our brightest days are ahead. I had a guy tell me one time, and I'll just end with this comment, but he said he was an investor that came out of the Northwest and said, we looked at everywhere we thought we could go and plant roots. They've done now almost $40 million in housing projects in Ogden City, and he said, what really appealed to us about Ogden City is it got really rich at the right time, so you built all this ornate architecture and the Union Station and so many great things happened, but then you got poor at the right time too. So you didn't go scrape all of that down and build a bunch of 1980 strip malls with no personality and everything else. You've been able to keep that character and really build on that, and there are very few communities that had that kind of history that were able to keep and maintain that. And we do think there are hubs for innovation and creativity, and that's one of the reasons it's been so appealing for this new generation to come in and want to start businesses and create startups and do some of the great things that they've done. But again, appreciate the county commissioners, and I'll give them some time. And Senator Hatch, we're thrilled to have you here. Thank you for spending the time with us today.
But really quickly, I know we're short on time. I think that you feel the excitement and I can't get going, or I'll talk for 20 minutes because I'm extremely excited. But if you can feel the creativity, the innovation that's starting to come into the Ogden area, if you haven't been there, you need to come up and see the difference. I mean, it is night and day. This is a community that's going to start to draw individuals from across the nation, and we hope across the world, into Ogden City as it becomes new and it reinvents itself. One of the areas, and we've talked about the innovation, we've talked about disruptive technology, that's what we're trying to get to come to the Ogden area, and we have coming to the Ogden area. But there's a community aspect that we're really working on. We're working in the areas of poverty, with intergenerational poverty. Beyond usually what you look at, we're looking at areas to fund that in pay for success or social impact bonding to create and to drive this. We're looking at our diversity issues and how we can create a very diverse culture and community and strengthen that and use that as a positive throughout the nation to attract people. Our housing, we are working with Ogden on providing low-income affordable housing that is, you know, not substandard. And so we have, along with all the economic development, with all the disruptive technology that we are really focusing on bringing, with an unbelievable workforce, with an unbelievable university, with an airport, we are focused also on community development and what we can do to create a community where people want to be there. We believe that through our actions, we're going to create an emotional attachment so people want to come here and they want to stay. So a tremendous amount of excitement. Please come up to Ogden City. You'll probably end up staying. That's what we hear all the time. People come to ski, they come to shop, they come to do business, and they end up buying and staying in Ogden because Weber County, because it's so amazing, so diverse. Urban core, Upper Valley experience, suburbia, agricultural lands that provide our heritage. So come up, enjoy, and feel free to buy. If not, buy something and then head home. So thank you very much, Commissioner Gibson.
So thank you, Commissioner and Mayor. Yesterday, the Mayor and I, Commissioner Milburn, a few others from Wasatch Front Regional Council were on a little visit of Boulder and
Fort Collins.
We were in this little coffee shop in Fort Collins, and there was this really cute girl at this table with a couple of other really cute girls, obviously, with them. And of course, Brett Milburn paid attention, right? And I got talking to this girl, and she said, "Where are you guys from? I can tell you're in this group." And I said, "Well," she said, "Well, I'm from here, but it sounds like you guys are from Utah." And she said, "My favorite place on earth is Ogden, Utah." Uh-huh. And I said, "Well, I'm a commissioner in Weber County, and there's Mayor Caldwell, the mayor of Ogden." And it just kind of made me think a little bit about the way that we're perceived sometimes outside of our community from those who have come in and had the opportunity to enjoy some time in that amazing place. And sometimes some of the perception we fight right here within the state. And frankly, we had an awful lot of good folks from neighbors from Salt Lake and Point South who came to our Temple Open House a couple years ago and said that's the first time they've been to Ogden in 30 plus years. And I go back to what Commissioner Eber said, that you're missing the boat if you haven't been to Ogden for the last little while. Ogden is a wonderful place to be. One of the things that we are very, very proud of because Ogden, I mean, we're very proud of Ogden as our capital city. It really is what kind of defines Weber County. But it's not the only part of what Weber County is. And that's wonderful, I think, what Commissioner Eber pointed out. We have so much diversity. And among our cities and communities, the Ogden Valley, one of the very few counties in the United States with distinct communities, landmass on both sides of the major mountain range. When you think about that, what an opportunity that is. We have population, we have recreation, we have agriculture, we have industry, we have just about everything to sustain a wonderful community. And that's one of the things we're really proud of. When we talk about our industry and our diversity, we recognize that can only happen because our communities are very different. We have the mayor here on our council, of course, that you all know and love from Washington Terrace. It's very different in Washington Terrace than Far West, and yet that is exactly what we're very proud of. And too often, I think, just like in maybe a lot of your communities, we tend to segregate ourselves by geographic boundary, by city, and we tend to think, you know, gosh,
maybe I should focus on my world. And I think one of the things I've been really proud of, and I'm going to lay some of the credit here with Mayor Allen, I think our COG is doing a tremendous job recently, the last little while, of looking at the bigger picture and understanding that all of our cities, all of our communities, smaller communities, don't need to really reinvent the wheel. They don't need to be the same. In fact, it's great when we have our differences and that we can focus on those individual unique specialties and bring them together into a greater whole. Really, that's what we're looking for from a council, from this perspective. We think that it is very important to every one of you, even though you don't live in Weber County, that Weber County is strong and vibrant and a strong bookend to the Wasatch Front. We know that your communities are. We think that ours is as well. And frankly, that's been one of our concerns. If we see some of you that haven't been there for a while, we want to show you how important it is for all of us to be successful in this thing together. In the movie, you saw one of the challenges that we had, which is also one of our huge benefits, and that's the rail system. We are very, very blessed to have that rail system, even today, even though it's kind of, it's more historical in some people's minds. One of the challenges that we had when the freeway system came through is how it was aligned and so on and so forth. You mentioned one of our important projects on 24th Street. We have the major interchange into our city that's a half interchange. Folks, that is a problem for any metropolitan area. And so we beg you to keep that at the top of your minds as we go through these processes. That is very important. But also, one of the assets to those rail assets that we're so proud of is that we have unique opportunity for industry because of that Union Pacific line, main line that runs through California. One of our other projects that's very important to us is an industrial project out on our 12th Street corridor, some of you have probably heard about. And one of the beauties to that, again, is that we have direct access to that main rail line for freight going across through California. So we really need support with some of these local projects. And we think that as we become stronger, and each and every one of you will become stronger as well. So we're just, again, we couldn't be more proud of our community as all of you are. I mean, that's one of the reasons we do this thing is to have a little bit of a excitement about where we live, and we all love where we live. But I think if there is one plea that I could make, it would be simply that we continue this opportunity that we have. I think we have a unique ability and a unique opportunity to work together in ways that strengthen each and every one of us. And it makes me feel really good. Does my heart good to sit here and hear the projects that are important to each and every one of you in your communities. I hope you'll always see a hand of support from those of us here in Weber County, and we appreciate your support as well. It kind of goes back to some of the arguments we had about transportation over the last little while. We can't just build roads. We can't just do mass transit. We can't do any one component on our own. We've got to bring it all together, figure out how we can give and take to make things stronger. And so that's one of the beauties of this group. So thank you very much for the opportunity to present here for just a minute today. Mayor, you want to follow up?
Sure, and I'll just close. It's nice to have both Carlos and the new president and CEO of ETA. We've got two huge projects with some of our infrastructure pieces coming along. We've appreciated the support. A lot of you know that we're looking at a BRT from our downtown core up to the university and the hospital there. Matt Sybil's smiling and nodding over there. We've been working on that for over 10 years. And so we've appreciated the partnerships in this room. There's a lot going on. We have great expectations for the future, great expectations of this group to continue working. One of the things that drives us and has us up at night is that statistic that along the Wasatch Front, the next 30 years, we're going to double our population. And if we don't look at this broadly and diversely, putting in active transportation, everything else, all these qualities of life we've been recognized for will get snuffed out with congestion and frustration and bad air and so many other things that we can address now. And it's not just what's happening this year or next, it's what's happening for the next generation and what we're going to give to our kids as we move out of public service and go do some other things. So we appreciate y'all being here and the opportunity to talk a little bit about what's happening in Ogden. And commissioners, I appreciate you getting here. Thank you.
Let me just say, just so you know, there's pictures of me trading in my Harley helmet for my bike helmet.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate
thank
you.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank
I just wish you could show a little more enthusiasm. Well, welcome, Senator. We're just brimming with pleasure to have you come join us. It's not often we get this kind of attention. So we're going to turn the time over to you, and at the end of that, the Senator will entertain some questions.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be with you. I was really glad to hear this, these folks from Ogden and their approach, because they really have done a great job up there, and we've all benefited from it. I remember back in the early years, we came very close to losing Hill Air Force Base, because especially during the Clinton years, it seemed that politics was more important, and the whole delegation just really rose up and we fought to keep it, and they are so happy that we have. And now that we have been designated as the F-35, first three squadrons of the F-35, that pretty well does the job. But Ogden, the people in Ogden are the reason why Hill Air Force Base is solidified and so strong. Because I'll tell you, the patriotism of the people of Ogden, that's paid attention to by the military. And that gets us past the politics and into what Hill Air Force Base really means to the Air Force and to the military as a whole. Well, I want to thank you all for allowing me this time to chat with you today. I truly appreciate all that you did to help me in this highway bill. Many, if not most of you, were banging down my office door every day trying to get me to fund this highway bill, especially Andrew here.
Sorry, thank you.
He is relentless. I've got to tell you, you're a passionate bunch. You almost made me scared of my life one time. How much you wanted this thing done.
Senator, don't say that with the Secret Service.
Don't you say that. What I really want to say is that I appreciated hearing from all of you, and I know you work closely with my staff, and I know I would not have been able to help fund the longest highway bill in over 15 years, and frankly longer than that, without your help. For that, I want to say thank you. I apologize for my voice, but I think it's overused. I would like to congratulate you on all that you're doing. Utah is a truly national transportation lender and leader. I will do all that I can to help you and to support you. Armed with Utah's unified transportation plan, you're going to be successful in your prudent planning and execution of essential projects throughout the state. Utah's health, the state's economy, and all the recreation and tourism depend on meeting these particular needs. Many of these projects are only possible through federal dollars. That's why I worked so hard to fund the longest highway bill in over 15 years. I wanted to make sure that you had all the money that certainly needed, that was certainly needed in order to do your jobs. The money and certainty to plan and complete your projects. Many of you know that we went through multiple short-term extensions in order to finally reach an agreement on a full five-year bill. It was not easy to find the offsets and to fund the bill. In fact, Senator McConnell, who was the majority leader at the time in the Senate, came to me very sadly, and he said, Orrin, he said, do you think we can find enough money to fund the highway bill for at least a year to get us past this election? I said, I don't know, but I'll sure try. And we not only found the money for that, but many years in the future. Now, some of them the Democrats complained about, so we had to scale it back a little bit. But we found more money than just the five-year projects. And frankly, it wasn't easy to find those offsets to fund the bill. Many thought we couldn't do it, especially without raising taxes, which is what many of the Democrats wanted to do. One of the most sincere Democrats is the senator from Maryland, from one of the small states back there, and he was on me all the time to just raise the gas tax, because it hadn't been raised since 1993. What it really came down to was we needed to make the highway bill trust fund solvent, and we weren't going to be able to do it with a tax increase because we couldn't get the votes for that. And we want to make it solvent for at least the next 5 years so that all of you can complete all of your projects. The FAST Act, which is what we called it, will give Utah an estimated $1.8 billion total for state and local transportation projects. Now, that's a lot of money, and I'm sure all of you will know how to spend it. Spending isn't the hard part, by the way. Now, for the next highway bill, we're going to have a lot of work to do. We're looking at all of the options, and there are a few provisions within the FAST Act which will help to identify even more options. We can't face another cliff during the next highway bill. And I have to say, you've helped me to do this, and you've helped me to find these areas where we could look for this extra money. We just can't face another cliff the next time the highway bill problem comes up. Now, I want to thank all of you for your help and for working with me. You're just wonderful partners. You're on the state and local level and doing it the very best way that can be done. Throughout this whole process, I've known that there have been some individuals and groups calling for the, quote, devolution, unquote, of transportation programs, either in part or in full, to the states. Now, while I am in full support of giving more flexibility, control, and, of course, dollars to the states and local levels, I think you all know how disastrous a full devolution would be. We cannot lay the burden on all of you. It's that simple. And I think it's a pretty good indicator when no one within the transportation community across the country or here in Utah is really calling for it. So I want to thank you for your help with that. And I'll continue to fight for you on these issues. I'll continue to do all I can to support you and your projects. So please take the time to send your ideas. Give us your feedback. Let us know where we failed. Let us know where we've succeeded. And help us to know what we can do to make this a better situation. McConnell was, as you can imagine, very pleased when I came up with enough money to really do this five-year bill. We had to back off some of the Democrats, but even they were very pleased that we were able to do it without raising taxes, especially during an election year. And I want to do it, if I can, without raising taxes in the future as well. We need your ideas. It was your ideas that really came to fruition in helping us to get there to begin with. I just want to personally, while I'm here, I want to personally thank you for all that you've done. Be happy to take a few questions. Yes, sir.
Senator, first of all, Brett Milburn, Commissioner in Davis County, I've had the opportunity to meet with your staff a number of times on this issue and appreciate all the work that you and your staff have done, particularly over the last couple of years, and we're very appreciative of the FAST Act and the monies that will be flowing over the next 5 years. Given that, and you alluded to it, you know, at some point in time the FAST Act expires, what is the process and the prospects going forward? And are we going to be pushing a cliff again, or what kind of actions are being taken now to help us avert?
A lot of this process is going to be determined by who wins this next election, which presidential candidate is going to win. Republicans will have a different approach towards it. Democrats will have their different approach to it. And I think it comes down to those factors. If we can keep the majority in the Senate, I'll still be chairman of the Finance Committee, where we have to find the money. But even if I'm not, I'll be ranking, and I'll have to find the money anyway. So it'll be that effort that will take place. We're going to need your help to help us to rustle up the monies from various areas that we can do. Utah's a really great exemplary state. One reason why we have all of these funds for mass transit is because of Utah and its ability to live within certain constraints and yet make it a very, very effective and workable a solution to our problems. And I just have to say it's a privilege to represent Utah, because our people, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, work together hand in glove to be able to make these things work. And we use you as an example all the time back there, and it shames some of the others into realizing they got to go along with what we're talking about. But a lot depends on the election too. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
I appreciate all you've done, Senator Hatch, to help us. And in particular, I just wanted to give you an example of where some of that money has gone to help small town America. I am the mayor of Perry City up in Box Elder County, where the peaches are on right now.
You didn't bring any?
Shut up. Anyway, we have a particular concern that has been in the plaguing us for many years, and when I-15 has any kind of a shutdown, they have to reroute through Perry City, and that becomes very problematic. And we were able to apply through the WFRC and present a project that was funded through the federal fundings through the state, in which we now are looking at getting $2.4 million to allow us to get an alternate transportation corridor in there for those times, which happen more frequently than we like to think, that we have all that I-15 traffic coming through a small town. So with that, what are your thoughts on ways that we at the state and local level can help you to try and
that's a good question. That's a good question. We most of the reason we've been able to do the five-year deal is because of people in Utah and their advice. I have to say, I can't begin to tell you how much I believe in state and local control of things, and how much better off it is. But it's not always true in a number of other states. But it is true in this state. You folks take governance seriously, as you should. And I'm proud of you. And a lot of the ideas came from you, so... And we're not ashamed to ask you for your ideas. I have a very top of my staff. Look, let's face it, it's going to be... I'd like to fund highway programs and other programs within that orbit a lot more than we do. And I think we should. It's going to be very difficult because you can't believe all the projects some of my colleagues have that really don't lead to great highways, but lead to maybe some other nice things, but they're not as essential to us as highways are. It takes a tough guy to stand there and say, wait, we're going to do highways first. And that's what we had to do. But I'd like to do some of these other things too, but I still, number one is our highway programs. And some states operate very well with these funds, some states don't. The ones that don't are a problem to all of us. And I have to eat it all the time from states that don't do it right. And you can pretty well figure they're the West Coast states, the East Coast states, and the Central Northern states. Not so much Central Northern, but West Coast and East Coast. And we just have to hang in there and make sure that whatever use of these funds, that the use is fair and that it treats every state in a fair and equitable manner. And it doesn't just ignore the smaller states, like Utah has claimed to be. They're starting to realize that Utah is a very powerful and important state, even though we're 70% owned by government, state and federal government. So, you know, I think the best thing you can do for us is help us to know what's the best way to do these things. Look for funds. Help us to find them. We had some help from our fellow Utahns in finding some of the funds we did. Now, they couldn't help us with many funds, but they helped us with some. And every bit of help was very significant and helpful. But I don't want to wait for 5 years and then have to go month to month to do highway bills. I want to be able to be well in advance of those 5 years and hopefully get a system that really does work. But you're a key part of that.
Senator?
Yes, sir.
Representative D from Utah, you and I have worked on these projects for at least the last 14 years, and I
appreciate
your help on that. So if I might state something that is almost an answer, but as we work together, I have found that as I visit back in Washington, and I was on the Transportation Committee for many years and with executive leadership, and every time I meet with Senator Hatch and our other representatives in Washington, the one thing I hear most, and this is something we can help with, is credibility of what's coming from Utah to the federal government as far as information. And we have a couple of people sitting around this table right now that represent that credibility, whether it's Andrew or the best transportation director in the nation. at the end of this table. I mean, when we come to Washington with these people, if Carlos walks into a meeting in the senator's office or others' office, we come in with credibility automatically because of what we've done in the past. So what we can do as local and state governments is making sure we're supporting WFRC, Utah Transportation, as well as the UTA, the new director. We need to be supporting those people because they're going to be the credibility that goes to these people in Washington, and they have the credibility now.
Well, Utah has a reputation for being fair, honest, and credible. And as long as we keep that reputation, we're going to be treated well in Washington. It doesn't hurt that you have a chairman of the Senate Finance Committee.
No.
It takes years and years to get to that position. But because of that, we have been able to do some very remarkable things. But it's just the beginning. And these next 2 years, we're going to do some more remarkable things that are even beyond that, especially in the area of taxation. And we already have come up with a corporate integration proposal that nobody ever heard of before that is starting to catch on back there. As far as taxation, we've got some really, really very important ideas on that that people are now starting to listen to. It takes a lot of effort to be able to move both Democrats and Republicans in the right direction. But we've been able to do that, and I intend to keep doing it if I can. So, but it's always a benefit to me, at least it has been. I can't speak for the other members of the delegation, but I'm sure they feel the same way. It's a great benefit to me as a senator to have honest, decent, reliable people who really make good requests and are not just in it to raise money so they can spend more. And Utah is particularly known as a credible, fiscally conservative state, whether you're Democrat or Republican. And that's a very helpful thing to us back there. It doesn't hurt to have the Senate Finance Committee under my control. And all I can say is that that's the committee where almost all the money is, and that's where people they can't afford to dump on Utah. We'll put it that way. Yes, sir.
Senator, are you as Senate Finance Committee Chair? Are you seeing any kind of return to an effort to reinstitute earmarks?
I can't quite hear you.
Are you seeing any return to earmarks as Chair of the Finance Committee? Any effort to try and reinstate that from parts of the country?
Yeah, the reason they went against earmarks back there is because there were too many of them.
Right.
But there are some things that we need to work on where earmarks are the only way we can solve them. And I personally believe that we're going to have to move into some earmarks, but we ought to have some constraints around those. And in this area, earmarks may be very important. So I'm not sure that's going to change. The House is not going to change its position. The Senate would, I believe, but the House is not going to. So we're going to work within that process, and we think Utah's come out of it pretty well with the work of our delegation and your work. I mean, let's face it, if it wasn't for your work, the delegation wouldn't be able to make the case or the cases that we do. So we're really proud of all of you.
We promised the senator that we would get him on a timely message. He's at a very busy schedule, as the voice will tell you. I was at two events last week with the senator, so he's running all around. So let's give him a hand. Thank you so much. We're going to bring in Senator Jerry Stevenson to give us a little update on Point of the Mountain Commission.
Jerry, your cousin looked good in his bike helmet yesterday, too.
Well, thank you. You know, I
have good news and bad news. The bad news is that the Pointing Mountain Commission is moving, but it's moving rather slowly. And the good news is I'm not going to take very long to tell you that. So, I was one of the sponsors of the bill to move the Pointing Mountain Commission forward. Reason being, I think we all understand the growth issues we're having there. Part of what's going on is we're off to a very late and slow start. That slow start is almost, we were behind the power curve to begin with, and we're really not doing a lot to move ourselves forward at a speed that's going to keep us ahead of the game, or get us ahead of the game. We are working hard to try and get all the entities together. We have hired someone to help pull all the bids and help put all the problem, define the problem better so that we can start solving it. Those of you that are involved in that area, I would urge you to be very cooperative as we go through this and stay away from some of these little castles we have a tendency to build. I've sat in your shoes. It's been a long time. In fact, most of the faces in this council have changed since I sat on the council. I'm trying to think how many years ago, but it's been a while back. I do appreciate what you do, and working from appropriations in the Senate, it's easy to work with your solutions in coming up to what we need to do. We just did, as usual, we don't have enough money to take care of all the problems. The Pointing Mountain is a very critical area of the state of Utah, and we have a tendency, if we're not careful, we will cause ourselves some issues there that we may be a generation correcting. I recognized that when we started going through the prison relocation part of this, and we recognized that growth was taking place there at a rate that was almost incomprehensible. If you look at the numbers on the latest studies from the University of Utah and others, Wasatch Front, we recognize that we have got some real problems and they're getting larger, not smaller. So I would just urge all of you, as we start through this process, let's try and keep it concise, on track, and then also let's try to make sure that we cooperate one with another. We don't need a wall built in one community so we can try and figure out how to reroute everything around that wall in another community. I've been through this in a much smaller area, or not area, but not on this magnitude. I served as the mayor of Layton for many years, and I admire your positions. I think we can solve a lot of these problems that we have at the state level, at the local level, and I think our citizens, I hope they appreciate that the quality of life issues that we deal with are solved in our communities. They're generally not solved in the higher places in government. So thank you very much for what you do. That is not, as I said, it wasn't a great report, but it didn't take very long either, so thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on now to the discussion of the Wasatch Front's year 16 activities and accomplishments. And I think that's going to be Andrew.
Yes, sir. With your permission, Mr. Chairman.
You ran over the mic.
Mr. Chairman, with your permission, what I'd actually like to do is we have the next three items on the chairman's report. Look back at the past year, FY16, and then look ahead at goals for the next year, FY17. And then the final item is programs that we have to assist you with the local communities. And I can tick through those in order, okay? Susie, will you
get us started? Let's start perhaps with where we should, which is our mission. You all will remember that you as a council adopted this updated mission statement late last year. It's on the wall here too, but I'll just read it to you. The Wasatch Front Regional Council builds regional consensus and enhances quality of life by developing and implementing visions and plans for a well-functioning, multimodal transportation system, livable communities, a strong economy, and a healthy environment. And it is with that mission in mind that we structure our activities here at the Wasatch Front Regional Council. And before I even talk about what we've done or what we're looking at doing, I just want to note to you there is a core principle that we're following, and that is that
There is no individual or independent success for Wasatch Front Regional Council. Our success is in helping you to succeed. The cities, the counties, our community, our region, our partners, the transportation agencies, and community organizations, we are here to try to help you within a regional context achieve your goals and objectives. That's what motivates us and makes us happy. Susan, oh, I have the clicker.
Got it.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to first talk about our activities and accomplishments for the last year. You have at your seats a copy of this wonderful report that our staff has put together reflecting our activities over the past year. And the report is designed and organized actually by the goals that you adopted for us as a council last year. And so we're going to actually email that out to you after this meeting, share that with the public. But I'm going to walk through, organized again by our goals, what our activities have been over the last year. So the first goal, begin development of the 2019 to 2050 Regional Transportation Plan, Unified Transportation Plan. I'm embarrassed I don't have a copy to hold up with me. Who gets brownie points by holding up a copy of the Unified Plan?
Nobody.
No, it's over. Yeah, Muriel's saying it's all on your phones. Because we have an app, so everybody can look at it. Nice save, Muriel. Thank you very much. And updated Wasatch Choice Land Use and Development Vision. So over the past year, what we did, as you all remember, a year or so ago, we adopted the 2015 to 2040 Regional Transportation Plan and Unified Transportation Plan. And then over the past year, we started that cycle again of looking out ahead. We do this every 4 years, and this time we're looking 2019 to 2050. So now, the approach that we take to looking at the region is that there's no one-size-fits-all. And at the risk of making what might be like a political or ideological comment, there are places around the country where the effort to think regionally and plan is regarded as bordering on socialism, okay? That it's folks from the government coming in and telling locals what's best for them. And I just want to be clear with all of you, that is the opposite of the way that we look at this. Okay? The way we look at this is that you are the experts in your community, and our job is to help you achieve your goals, providing information to you in a regional context and analysis and assistance. So that's why the way that we start our process is by going all over the region and doing what we call these small area meetings. And most of you attended at least one of them in your areas, getting together with your neighbors and your communities, where we can ask the question, what are your desires? What are your goals? What are your needs? And then we will take all that information back and weave that into scenarios, three scenarios, that we will then bring back to you for feedback and dialogue. And then also, as we go through this process, try to assist you to make sure that you have the zoning, the general plans that are consistent with the transportation plans that you want, because those things can't happen if they're not done together. And I do specifically also want to note, as Senator Hatch and Representative D described the power corner here, our friends from UDOT and UTA, they would hate the fact that I just said that. They do hate the fact that I just said that. But I just have to say, it is a pleasure to work with both of them. And that is what we do. We try as much as possible to coordinate closely on a personal level, at an organizational level. And I just do also, Mr. Chairman, want to echo that Jerry is a dedicated and capable public servant and a transit professional. And he's done a wonderful job over the past year, and looking forward to continuing to work with you, Jerry. I know confirmation, but we're looking forward to that. And we provide a lot of technical expertise to our communities. The real estate market model, integrating with the travel demand model, so we can see in an analytical way what is the relationship between travel patterns and real estate development, and bring that expertise to bear to help you. Now, also, we're not just working on the regional transportation plan. You know, Wasatch Choice, it was 2040. We call it 2050. And to us, That is transportation and land use integrated together, a vision for the future that is real and implementable. And we kicked that effort off. Many of you were at the Wasatch Choice 2050 Consortium and Active Transportation and Health Summit. It was a great event. We had over 500 public, private, community stakeholders from all over the region who came out to help look at development patterns and ways that we can grow. And I also want to thank many of you who were actually sponsors for that event. And we're greatly appreciative of that. That coincided with the National Association of Regional Councils 50th annual conference. They selected our region, folks from all over the country. Why? In part because they want to see the things that we're doing together. Senator Hatch spoke about it. We're proud of the work that we're doing together for our region. Okay, goal number two, support efforts to fund the needs identified in the 2015 to 2040 Unified Transportation Plan for Utah. We all have spent a lot of time on this and invested a lot of effort in it. The unified plan and the shortfalls identified in order to meet not all the needs that are identified, but the highest priority, most important needs, after we have scrutinized them, sharpened our pencils, so to speak, and identify what are the most important needs. And of course, you all remember, it was the year before that the legislature adopted House Bill 362, which reformed the gas tax, and also authorized a local option sales tax to be utilized for roads and for transit. And you remember that there were 17 counties in the state that put that on the ballot, and then 10 counties which actually passed that. So perhaps this points out to us that our work is not done. Now, we're not an advocacy organization, okay? What we do, what UDOT and UTA do, is we provide information to decision makers about the what will happen if appropriate investments are made and what won't. So we try to provide credible information, as was said before, but working together on funding is something that we need to consider continually. And I do also want to say that having the FAST Act passed and having that consistency of funding is a really important step. And I'm just going to take a moment. Most of the senators' folks have left, but Nick Wyatt is here. Nick Wyatt, as a staffer on the Finance Committee, is he'll hate my saying this also, but in many ways is personally responsible for a lot of the success and ideas that happened in the FAST Act. So, Nick, thank you very much. We're lucky to have him here. The last thing I want to say about funding is it's always important, again, to have that credibility that we're not just saying give us money and having a handout, right? We are trying to make sure that we are demonstrating that we have prudent, well thought out plans that are well supported so that we can use taxpayer dollars in the most efficient way and most effective way possible. That means determining what are the goals, what's the performance, and then tracking so that we can demonstrate to our stakeholders what is being done with the money that is being invested. Okay, goal number three, further develop, integrate, and promote WFRC programs that benefit local communities. You know that several, one of the key things that we do is we are actually providing resources to you. There's never enough. But there are resources. Mayor Cronin, you mentioned the resources coming through a federal program we were able to provide to Perry and many of your communities. We adopted the Transportation Improvement Program, which is a six-year program that has state, local, and transit projects and active transportation, and that's $4.3 billion. We're going to be doing that later in the meeting. I'm looking at Ben over here. But we're also allocating directly $50 million in funds that we program to you each year. And I'd like to think that there's, as well as the money, that there's value to you in the literally thousands of hours of staff time that we are putting in to try to help you. And if there are things that we can do better to help you more, I trust that you'll let us know. I enjoy talking with all of you, and as do the rest of our staff. So if there's ever anything that we can do to help you in any further ways, please don't hesitate to let us know. And then the final goal, the fourth and final goal that we identified last year, strive for organizational excellence, including maximizing employee job satisfaction and performance. And, you know, we have a wonderful staff here at WFRC. And what we did with your guidance, first, as I said already, adopted a new mission statement. And then we undertook within our own staff a strategic analysis of our programs and our efforts to make sure that our work is properly aligning with that mission. One of the ideas there is that we're trying not to get stuck in a, we do things this way because that's the way we've always done it. We're trying to think fresh about the way we approach our work. But none of that could be done without the awesome staff that I have the really remarkable privilege to work with. So what I want to do is I'm going to ask all, not all of our staff is here, but those of our staff that are here to stand up, please. Stand up. Our staff, there you go. Our staff are really terrific. I mean, it is such a great mix of dedicated experts who are professional and care so much about what I said before, which is helping you in your communities. Now, I did want to introduce one new staff person to you who is working to help a community somewhere, apparently John. Matthew Silski, I'll introduce him to you at the next meeting, and we'll give him a hard time for not being here at this meeting. And I want to do one last thing, which is hard for me, which is I want to recognize two of our most exceptional employees who are retiring, Pam Jorgensen and Renee Bodily. Will you just stand up, please, ladies? Renee is retiring after today is her last day. After, what is it, Renee, 18 years, 5 months?
5 months, 3 days.
And X number of hours. And Pam is going to be leaving us next month after 10 years. And they are just true models of kindness and competence and class. And they have helped me so much and all of us so much in the, since the day I set foot in this building 6 years ago. And I'm going to miss them terribly. And thank you so much, both of you, and congratulations on your retirement. And the last thing I want to say is thank you. Thank you to the members of the council on behalf of all of the staff. It is a real privilege to work with you and to work for you and to help you. We have a little saying that we've developed here at WFRC, which is, it's a good time to be in Utah and it's a good time to be at WFRC. We love it. It is a wonderful thing to be able to know that we come to work every day and help you to help our community to be a wonderful place to live now and in the future. So thank you. Mr. Chairman, that concludes the report on our activities and accomplishments. I'd be happy to take any questions if there are any.
Anything for Andrew you'd like to ask? As usual, he's pretty thorough.
I'd just like to say really quickly, as a new commissioner, I cannot express my appreciation for the staff from WFRC for being very responsive, very informative. As I've come up with crazy ideas, as I have a tendency to do, they've helped mold and direct them into something that they can actually work on, and they've delivered every single time. And so I just want to say, from my perspective, I'm very appreciative, and I want to say thank you. So I appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, where are we now?
Okay, so Mr. Chairman, with your permission, we'll move into the next item on the agenda. That was not an action item, that was just a report. The next item is the goals for FY17. So what you, as I said, the whole report that I just presented was organized by the goals you adopted for us for last year. And now we're going to turn to the goals for FY17. We're already in FY17, but we've developed a practice of doing this at the August council meeting, so August to August. And I do want to note that the goals that we have in many ways are a reflection of or a continuation of many of the activities, because the work we do by its nature continues year to year. I'm going to put the goals up on the screen. But what you have in your packet, and I'm going to go through them, but what you have in your packet is a one-pager which lists those goals in detail. Okay? So, actually, before I go to that, let me just note, how do we develop these? Well, we start with our mission and our roles. We look at our and reflect on our activities and accomplishments from previous years. We do a full discussion with our entire staff, and we've had dialogue with the members of the executive committee. And so we're bringing this to you today for your consideration, and this would be for action, pending your feedback. Let me read through these and put them all up on the screen, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about each of them individually. Collaboratively develop long and short range plans and programs, and assist local communities to implement those plans. So there's four goals. They're similar to last year, but we've made some targeted modifications. Goal two, integrate the consideration of transportation, land use, and economic development through a performance-based approach. Goal three, support transportation policy making. And goal four, strive for organizational excellence. So again, as you can see, these are high-level statements of the goals, and then what you have in your packets is more detail. In the interest of time, I don't want to spend too much time going through all of this, but your feedback and questions are welcome. So let me just generally say, for the first item, this is reflective of the core responsibility we have of developing the regional transportation plan, which we are now calling the Wasatch Choice for 2050 Regional Transportation Plan and Vision. And that will be done, as I've said already, with extensive engagement with all of you, our communities and our partners, over a four-year process, which will ultimately result in the council in 2019 adopting a phased, prioritized, financially constrained list of projects for state roads, local roads, transit, and active transportation. We will also, another core responsibility is develop the TIP. Now that will be 2018 to 2023, the Transportation Improvement Program, the first 6 years with specific funding sources associated with specific projects. We'll work on key projects and studies around the region. Point of the Mountain Commission was one that was mentioned, Wasatch Front Central Corridor, the first last mile Tiger, I mean a whole lot of things that we'll work on. And then of course assist you in local communities with funding and technical resources, because we don't just want plans to be on the shelf, we want to help you in implementing those plans. So that's generally stated the first goal. Mr. Chairman, however you want, I could go through all of them and take any questions or stop with each one.
If you have it in front of you, I don't know if you had a chance to review it. I did beforehand. Do you have any specific questions on any of the four goals? As you can see, Andrew and the staff were very thorough about explaining each and every individual goal. So if you have some questions, go ahead and raise your hand.
I was just going to say, Andrew, one of the things that we brought up our transit economy is funding is always an integral part of a lot of the goals that we've got up there, and that's the projection and growth, and that's going to be a big factor in terms of meeting those goals.
It is indeed, and I would say to that point, Mayor Freeman, support transportation policy making addresses that, helping to communicate and provide information about transportation needs and look at options for transportation funding as those issues are discussed at the federal, state, and local level.
Any other questions? So we can move on to a motion.
Yeah, I've got one more.
Yes, sir.
On the move of the offices.
Yes.
That's a great one, but I love this location. I know this building is, you've grown out of it. This is a great location. Weaver County, I can get here in 35, 40 minutes. And I have no parking issues. I have no congestion. It's a great, great location, just a bad building. So.
Okay.
If you keep it right here, that's great. But I guess Weaver County would actually be better.
Well,
I know we've discussed that just a little bit. I think you dismissed that rather
just
quickly.
A little bit, yeah. Well, Mayor Allen, I really appreciate your bringing that up. This is a topic that we've talked about for a few years. We've talked about internally with our staff a lot. And there are a variety of reasons that we think it's important to move to a location where we can practice what we preach. As you know, we talk about having a balanced multimodal approach to transportation. And did anybody get here in any way other than driving? Anybody? Anybody?
I jogged here.
Did you jog here? Yeah. Other than Mayor Dolan. We think it's very important to be located in a place where you can access the office through various modes of transportation, and that will help facilitate us fulfilling more of that role of convener. Now, having said that, it is absolutely a priority for us that wherever we move to, it remains convenient for the members of the council to access that by various modes of transportation. So I pledge to you that it's not going to be exactly the same when we figure it out, but we are going to think about making sure that you have an easy time coming to us, because we would hate for that to be an impediment for you to join us.
We've had discussions over several years of relocating our offices, and believe me, we'll have thorough discussions before we can ever make any decisions.
So we can, Mr. Chairman, happy to move on, but let me just say, if we do move on now, I and the staff would be more than happy to have discussions and dig into the details of any of this with any of you at a later time if you want.
Can I have a motion for the fiscal year 2017 goals?
So move that.
Mr. Second. Any more discussion? Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
The last item that I noted is a one-minute item, Mr. Chairman, and that is our funding programs. We talked about it already. Here's a list of the programs we have where we provide funding and technical assistance to you. What can you expect for the next year? Relatively soon after this meeting, we'll start the process for next year, and we'll send out an announcement about the funding programs. That will start a process where in September there'll be a call for letters of intent to be submitted. That's a really easy thing to do. It's a low bar just to initiate the process. Then we move into what will be due in October, and then full applications due in January. So just wanted to give you all a heads up. We're trying to coordinate those, have them all be unified together so it is as simple and easy for you and your communities. And for those of you, the elected officials here, don't worry. We're also working very closely with your staff and giving them all of this information as well. That's just a brief informational item, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Andrew.
Okay. Any questions?
Andrew has asked me to give an update to the commission about Mountain Accord and where it's going, because we have been, we approved that some funding would come to the Wasatch Front to help us through the Mountain Accord process. We transferred monies into that. We are in the process of establishing what will be called the Central Wasatch Commission. This framework of it will be four entities will create this through interlocal agreement. It will be Salt Lake City, Salt Lake County, Cottonwood Heights, and Sandy City. We will then start inviting other members to join us. We've asked Carlos to be part of our group. We've asked a representative of Summit County, and we can then continue to expand some of that into the future. But the original signatories will be those four entities, and we will create this commission and then start transferring funding that exists in Wasatch Front and some other entities into this commission, so we can then start the process of doing real planning, transportation planning, and have the effect that we're trying to look for in the protection and the access to our canyons along the Wasatch Front, along the Salt Lake County corridor of the Wasatch Front. So that's kind of a brief overview. We're still in the process of, we will have a long meeting tomorrow to continue this with all these entities, to continue on this process. And hopefully within the next month or two, we have a piece of legislation that has Representative Chaffetz is carrying for us to solidify this interlocal, and not just this this commission, but the goals of Mountain Accord: protect the environment, wildlife, solidify the boundaries for the ski resorts, create more wilderness, as well as the transportation elements that we will look for. So that's moving through. Several of us will be going back to testify to Congressman Bishop's committee in September, and we'll get more information if you would like or need that. Do I have any questions on that? Because normally most of us are not involved in this, but this is a goal I have, and this is something that I believe other entities along the Wasatch Front will be looking at. Again, as we talked about the doubling of population, how do we preserve the recreation, the environment, and continue the transportation that's necessary for our residents to access the mountains? Any questions? Thank you. We'll move on now.
Mr. Chairman, that's actually an action item.
Is it?
Yes, it is. And if I could make one technical comment about what the council is actually being asked to act on.
Well, you know more about it than I do.
In some ways, yes, and in some ways, definitely no. There is an interlocal agreement that has been drafted. It was sent out in your packets that authorizes WFRC to enter into, the action would be to authorize WFRC to enter into that interlocal agreement and thereby transfer over when the Central Wasatch Commission is established and when appropriate procurement and finance policies are adopted, to transfer over to that, and assign over to that, the contracts that we are currently managing and any remaining funds. So we're not a party to the Central Wasatch Commission, but there's a multi-party agreement to make that assignment of the contracts. So that's the approval that is sought with the interlocal agreement that's before you.
We need a motion?
Yes.
Okay. Any more questions?
Second. There.
Oh, you made the motion.
I made the motion.
Oh, good. Okay, and
a second. My only question is are we sure this is the final draft?
Thank you. We're sure it's not the final draft. That's why it says draft on it. And our suggested motion is that you're approving it pending minor revisions agreed to by the parties. We do anticipate a little bit of tweaking, but nothing fundamental in the nature of the agreement. Thank you for pointing that out.
So we're authorizing entering into it and authorizing you to sign it on behalf of it. Wasatch Front or Tom, is that what we're doing?
Yes, on behalf of Wasatch Front.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So you don't want to keep our money, we transfer it over. Thank you. All right, let's move on to item four, the Regional Growth Committee. Mayor Cronin's going to stand in for Commissioner Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We had a very productive Regional Growth Committee meeting last week, and we bring three items to the council today. The first one is an item for action, the approval of the 2015-2040 RTP, amendment number two. We are considering amendments to the original transportation plan, and these projects were released for public comment back in October. The action today is requested to approve the proposed amendments, which were recommended by the RGP, and Jory is going to introduce these amendments.
Thank you, Mayor. Jory Donner, Long Range Plan Group Manager here at Wasatch Front. We adopted our Regional Transportation Plan, the 2015-2040 plan, last May in 2015. We know periodic adjustments are needed, things change, needs change, priorities change. And so we have a process that the Regional Council approved or updated in March for amending our Regional Transportation Plan. The amendment process looks at financial considerations, has a public comment period, and it also takes into consideration the air quality conformity requirements. We'd like to do the amendments about once a year, so a little plug, if you have things that might be on your radar that need to be changed, in our plan, let me or anyone here at WFRC know before March, preferably, and the sooner the better we can start dialogue and have some questions, but that's not set in stone. We do have some flexibility where we can do amendments if needed at other times. The RTP amendment process, staff received the request. We have a three-level process. First level, staff can make a recommendation and Andrew can approve that. It's for very minor things, functional class changes, active transportation type projects, minor things like that. The second and third, the only difference between these two is that if it meets it, or if a project is considered a regionally significant project, per the air quality conformity requirements. And so if it's a regionally significant project, we have to run air quality conformity determination, and if the projects aren't, then we don't. We can skip that step. We take it to the technical advisory committee, so your staff, the planners, they review the projects and make a recommendation to the regional growth committee. The regional growth committee reviews those and lets us go out to public comment, a 30-day public comment period. During that public comment period, we then present at the county councils of government the projects for the projects in those counties only. So in March, we actually streamlined this. Prior process had us going out to every county COG, even if a project wasn't in that COG. And so we went out to Salt Lake COG and the Weber COG during this public comment period that we had through May and June. We reviewed the comments and recommendations with the project sponsors, and then we looked to see if any project changes need to be made. We have a feedback loop. If anything big needs to happen, we have to go back out to public comment. If not, we take it to Regional Growth Committee, as we did last week. They made a recommendation, and now we're here for council final review. So that's our process. It's a very thorough process, and you know, I believe it's a really good one. There's lots of dialogue between us and the project sponsors and the public. So within your packets, there are 9 projects and a lot more description than this. I believe it's on about 2.5 pages. I'm going to briefly go over these. Because again, we had that thorough process in the Regional Growth Committee, reviewed them one by one as we last week. So the first project is a project in 90th South in Sandy from about I-15 to 7th East. It's to take an operational project and make it a widening project. It's a restriping project, so there's already existing right-of-way there, and it's not a very expensive project. Project number 2 is a Redwood Road project. And it actually includes 3 different projects within that. And I'll spend a tiny bit more time on that, but I'd really like to thank Brian Adams and Nate Lee and their staff for working on this project with us as we received comments throughout our public comment process. So the 3 projects within that, there's an operational project that goes from 90th South to 114th South that's in phase 2 that was proposed to move to phase 1. There's also an existing widening project in phase 1 that has funding in Riverton City from Bangor Highway up north to 126. The third project is a project that would widen Redwood Road from 5 lanes to 7 lanes from the South Jordan Parkway down to Bangor Highway. This project, we did receive some public comment regarding the widening project, and after discussions with UDOT, the piece from 114 South to 126 South, we're actually taking a step back since we received comment on that regarding the widening and the potential loss of the bicycle lanes, that we're going to look at that project a little bit more thoroughly. So we're actually asking for no action on that original project. So this project, just to be clear, and is to move the operational project to phase 1, and the segment of widening south of 126 to Bangor from 5 to 7 lanes, and that project will be coordinated with the existing funded project that's in Riverton. Right away is already being purchased and well coordinated on that one. Next 4 projects are in Ogden City. They're all operational type projects. There's a Valley Drive project, 2nd Street, 17th Street, and 26th Street. All these projects include operational components, intersection improvements, sidewalk, shoulder improvements, and active transportation project along those projects. The 7th project down here in North Ogden is a widening project on 2600 North from Washington to Fruitland Drive. The city did a master plan update, and they've actually been using some of their local money to save up, and they want to widen that project from three to five lanes. Project 8 is a project removal. So Harrisville reached out to us, and it's really a Wall Avenue extension north to 2700 North. It was in phase 3 of our plan, so it wasn't slated for another 20 years, but they weren't comfortable with that project being in our plan, so they've asked us to remove that project. And then the ninth project, Mayor Timothy's familiar with, is in Bluffdale, 140th South. It's a new project. It provides street connectivity between 2700 West and 3600 West. It connects a regional park. So those are the nine projects. Again, there's more detailed project costs, specifics in your packet if you'd like. Staff has reviewed these. They meet the air quality conformity, the financial constraints. We had our public comment period from May 23rd to June 24th. We did receive those comments on the Redwood Road project, and we're working very closely with UDOT on those. And I'm sure we'll bring that project back in some shape or form north of 126. And as Mayor said, RDC made a recommendation for approval. So I believe there's some language within the packet for a motion.
There is a suggested motion on the item 4A on the back page 3. Did I hear you say, though, that you want the other project eliminated too, besides Redwood Road? Yes, for that.
Only so in our current plan, it's one project from 114 South all the way down to Bangor, and so we're only asking for the segment of that project from 126 South to Bangor Highway to be moved into phase one. The other project, the part north of 126, will stay in its current phase until UDOT and the communities around there can.
Any other questions? Ready for a motion? So, Timothy, would you like to make that motion? Do you have your packet?
I closed it. I can make a motion to approve amendment number 2 to the 2015-2040 RTP with the assessor of Redwood Road Project north of 2600 South, which requires further review and study.
Second.
Got the correct one?
That's it.
That's the motion.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Excuse me. Who seconded it? Thank you. The second item from the RGC is deals with the Wasatch Choice 2050. As you know, that we are looking for further development and the adoption of the plan for 2019. And Ted, I think, is here and will be able to give us more information on that.
Thank you, Mayor Cronin. Good afternoon, everybody. Hi, I'm Ted Holton. I'm the deputy director here, and I am going to truncate my presentation for your enjoyment. Andrew talked about what the Wasatch Choice is. It's both the update to the shared metropolitan vision for transportation development and open space. It's also the development of our regional transportation plan. So here's a thumbnail sketch of the process that we're going through. And what I intend to do here just for a couple of minutes is to give you a status update. In this last year, Andrew mentioned these small area meetings. We gathered ideas for all the way up to 2050. You think 2050, most general plans, as we looked at them, go out to about 2030. So there's this big question, what do we all assume and work towards out to a longer time horizon, and how do we think about the transportation ideas that really get us to where we want to go and how they fit with your vision locally for growth and development? And that small area meeting also provides an opportunity for you to have that conversation with the nearby community. So we had those in 2016, gathered ideas about the outcomes that you that matter most to you, transportation ideas and development ideas as well. We have been talking with you and the Regional Growth Committee as well about goals that we will then test to see how well the scenarios and the vision itself help us get to where we want to go as a region. So look for a set of regional goals to come to you in the next meeting in October for action. Briefly, what we have done is we have analyzed and dissected the results of these small area meetings, this mapping exercise and keypad polling that we did in these. And one key thing I want you to know is that as we are developing scenarios, they bear the fingerprint of the feedback from each part of the metro area. So that it's not a broad brush scenario of this theme or that theme. It's really, what are the ideas that you want to explore in a particular area? Let's say South Davis stretching from Centerville to North Salt Lake, okay? And the transportation development pattern ideas for those areas. We will bring back more details on those for the sake of time. We'll wait till the next meeting and share with you thematically, how are these landing on the ground? What are some of the big transportation ideas? And get into that in a little bit more detail with you. That is then headed towards coming back in smaller meetings in 2017 and really digging into those scenarios. How well do they help us get to our desired outcomes as a region? All working towards a shared framework regional in 2018, which we then build on and develop the regional transportation plan. You see that adoption, have more local conversations and consider ways that we can help you in your implementation efforts. So that is the overview of where we are at, status update. I hope that I laid that out in at least sufficient detail that you have a sense of where we're at and where we're headed, and if not, I'm happy to answer questions that you might have. Mr. Chair.
Any questions for Ted? Again, this is an informational item. Thank you, Ted. Next item.
Susan, the last informational item coming from the RDC deals with the WFRC's new mission statement, which includes a number of references regarding the integration of land use and economic development, along with the core transportation role, and Denise Davenport is here to inquire further about that.
Thank you. Denise Davenport, I'm the manager of the Wasatch Front Economic Development District here at the Wasatch Front Regional Council. So thank you. As you all know, the Wasatch Front Regional Council's mission is to do a variety of things that include a well-functioning multimodal transportation system, create livable communities, a strong economy, and a healthy environment. To that end, we're uniquely positioned to include transportation, land use, and economic development into our short and long-range initiatives here at the Wasatch Front Regional Council. We readily see and understand the value of integrating economic development with land use and transportation. To that end, with support of the Wasatch Front Economic Development District members, with state, regional, and local governments, we've developed three key strategies that I'm going to share with you today to integrate economic development with transportation and land use. The three strategies are to coordinate transportation investments with economic clusters, the second is to coordinate with access to opportunity, and the third is to ensure fiscal sustainability for efficient growth in infrastructure investments. So what does that mean? Talking about economic clusters, what are they? Clustering is when firms locate near each other in close proximity to take advantage of economies of scale. This slide highlights one of Utah's technology clusters, the IT and software cluster. You'll see that within just this small area between Cottonwood Heights and Lehigh City, there are over 100 firms that are located within just this small geography. They've all co-located or clustered in this area. The state really likes economic clusters because they drive the type of economy that we really want to see within our state and that we really want to support. Clusters affect regional economies, they raise the standard of living, and capitalize on our regional strengths. There are certain things that affect the success of an economic cluster, and knowing what these things are really allow us at the Regional Council the ability to promote them through coordinated infrastructure investments. So for example, we know that the workforce in the IT cluster, a lot of them are millennials, and we know that they like multimodal transportation options. They'll probably want to be able to take transit or ride their bike to work. We also know that they have a high quality of life standard, and they like this area because of the affordable housing and the recreational opportunities that exist there. That cluster is also successful for a variety of reasons because of its location between the research centers and the universities there in that area. So moving on to our second strategy, which is access to opportunity. Access to opportunity is defined as a person's ability to get to their job, school, library, or other services within a reasonable amount of time. So this can be thought of a basic purpose of transportation, right? Looking at access to opportunity is perfect, though, because it speaks to all three of those considerations of land use, economic development, and transportation. For example, transportation investments can increase an area or the space that can be reached within a 20-minute commute. Land use investments can increase the opportunities, the types of jobs and services that are within that area. And then coordinated transportation and land use affect both the space and the opportunities that exist there. WFRC is unique. We have unique modeling capabilities that give us the ability to determine the opportunity of an area. So for example, if I lived in the mouth of Mill Creek Canyon down here at that little triangle, basically I can access about up to 75,000 jobs within a 20-minute commute. If I lived in Murray, next to the hospital, near the transit station, I have access to up to 525,000 jobs within a 20-minute drive or a 40-minute transit trip. Lastly, we want to ensure fiscal sustainability through efficient growth and infrastructure investments. So WFRC, like all of you, value fiscal sustainability, and we believe that we can play a role in supporting efficient growth and infrastructure investments. So we encourage growth patterns that are fiscally sustainable through the utilization of existing infrastructure. This really allows us to maximize current and future infrastructure investments, stretching limited dollars. Based on our region's vision and growth principles, we like the idea of centered growth. You all know that. Encouraging growth in infill areas, in centers, and near transit. Because when we maximize these existing infrastructure, we build more compactly and build contiguously, we conserve green space, agricultural lands, service-related expenses, and of course, dollars. So WFRC will continue to integrate these three strategies with all of our short and long-range initiatives. We're going to track our progress, tell our story, and look forward to many more coordination and collaboration efforts with each one of you on the table. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mayor. We'll move on now to transportation, and Mayor Applegarth will lead us in there.
Thank you. We have three action items. We'd ask Ben to come up to the microphone, and we'd like to consider action item 5A first, which is a board modification to the 2016-2021 Transportation Improvement Program, and these have been come through Transco. So Ben, if you cover this issue, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, since the last time we met, we had an opportunity to receive a request to modify the Transportation Improvement Program. Attached to the resolution in your packet are three lists, and each one of those lists identify projects that have been asked to be modified into the 2016-2021 Transportation Improvement Program. The first list will demonstrate or will identify two projects. The first project is located in South Davis County. This is on 1500 South in Woods Cross. The existing project is highlighted with the red line and the blue. It's a reconstruction of a narrow facility, a two-lane facility. It'll reconstruct it to a three-lane cross-section with shoulders, curb gutters, and sidewalks. This project also had some funds that were identified for pedestrian and bicycle safety on the crossing of the rail here in the square. The intent of the request of this modification is to extend the project where the yellow is highlighted so that it ties into the existing cross streets of the neighborhood as well as the drainage and tie the funds that have been identified for the pedestrian and bike safety crossing on the rail. So it's an extension of project scope. There's no additional funds being requested for this project. The next project is a project. This is in Salley County on 5300 South and Commerce Drive. This particular project is for safety improvements. They'll take out the intent to utilize the width of the pavement and construct an additional three lane through the intersection that feeds into the left turn lanes that feed onto the southbound lanes on the I-15. This project is estimated at $600,000. The funds come from the Highway Safety Improvement Program. The next project is identified on two tables. This is the Recreational Trails Program. The Recreational Trails, for your information, was authorized by Congress back in 91. The new transportation bill, FAST Act, has continued this program. These projects are selected and administered through the Utah State Parks and Recreational Division. This time every year is when we bring these projects to amend into the existing transportation improvement program. There were 40 projects that were identified, just shy of $1.5 million. Eight of those projects are within the Wasatch Front area, totaling just a little more than $202,000. These would be the projects that are being requested into the board modification for the 2016-2022 TIP.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Ben on these projects?
Jerry, I move that we approve the resolution of the Wasatch Front Regional Council amending the 2016-21 Transportation Improvement Program.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any more questions?
I missed the second again. I'm sorry. Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Okay, then Ben, we would move to item 5B. This is an action item again. It approves the 2017-2022 Transportation Improvement Program and Air Quality Conformity Findings. So Ben, if you would take this one, please.
Thank you. This is an exciting time for us. Generally, as referenced earlier in several presentations, the Transportation Improvement Program, or TIP as it's commonly referred to, is a program that takes a little more than a year to put together. We'll just be approving this, and as Andrew indicated earlier, we'll be initiating the process requesting letters of intent later part of September. The Transportation Improvement Program is a six-year program of highway and transit projects that have been identified in the cities and the counties. It also includes the UDOT and the Utah Transit Authority projects. These funds are funded with various funding sources, both federal, state, and local funds. This will implement the long-range plans of the highway and transit projects, meet the short-range needs, and also provide the maintenance for our existing system. The Transportation Improvement Program will include everything from the new construction of the new major highways or freeways like the Mountain View Corridor all the way down to a small bike ped facility in the western part of Weber County. It also, with all of the projects that are identified in the TIP, it identifies or represents millions of dollars, as was mentioned earlier, a little more than $4.3 billion. worth of projects along the Wasatch Front, in the Wasatch Front area. Thousands of jobs, economic growth and development, improvements for our mobility and access, as well as the preservation of life and the promotion of our quality of life here in the Wasatch Front. Now, federal law requires that the Transportation Improvement Program be financially constrained. That means in the 4 years of the six-year program, we have to be financially constrained. It also needs to demonstrate conformity to the air quality and be reviewed by the public and then approved by this body. Well, staff has reviewed and it determined that it does meet the conformity for air quality. Now, to talk a little bit about the opportunity for being reviewed by public comment. Back on the 25th of June, this document went out for public review and comment, which concluded on the 6th of August. We had two public review and comment periods of physical meetings. One was an in-house or an open house on the 12th, and then we had an electronic or I just forgot what I was going to say. Anyway,
online.
It was
online.
Thank you. Open house. But the thing that really brought about great success this year was the involvement or the enactment of an interactive map. On our website, you would be able to access this, and due to in conjunction with the efforts and the help from UDOT is how this was made possible, to pull this kind of data together You could go on there, and if you look close, you can see all these little orange dots on here. Well, each one of these dots represents a comment. When the public was able to click on that area, review the type of projects that were being considered in the Transportation Improvement Program. Whoops, went too far. Anyway, they made comments. We received over 89 comments, which is probably monumental. It's probably the most we've ever received. It was the map alone was viewed over 1,000 times as individuals had opportunity to go in, see what was happening in the area that they were concerned about, and then submit a comment. There's a summary of those comments with proper responses included in your packet. And so all of the things have been met for federal law except the approval by this body for the 2017-2022 Transportation Improvement Program. So that's where we are today, is here in August. We're reviewing, and then we'll begin the process all over again next month.
Thank you, Ben. Are there any questions for Ben on these issues here?
I just would compliment you on improving your public comment portion, even though that's a lot to respond to. At least you get some input that's helpful, and I'm sure give you some guidance.
Thank you. There's a lot of talented people in our office that added that up. They did wonderful.
Are there any other comments or questions for Ben? Can I make a motion that the resolution of the Wasatch Front Regional Council approve the 2017-2022 Transportation Improvement Program, Mr. Chairman?
Second.
We have a motion and we have a second. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay, we have one more item we go to, item 5C. If you have access to that and look at the resolution, I would draw your attention to a couple things on the resolution. The third whereas under the heading, the Wasatch Front Regional Council and the Utah Department of Transportation are required to certify that the urban transportation planning process meet the following requirements of the federal government. This is a yearly process, a self-evaluation process. If you go to the whereas just below item 10 that's listed there, the Wasatch Front Regional Council and the Utah Department of Transportation have reviewed the urban transportation planning process for the Salt Lake, West Valley, and the Ogden Lake areas as shown in the attached document and have found it to meet the requirements described above. Are there any questions on this self-evaluation, the report that is behind this? Any explanations you need on this? Seeing none, Mr. Chairman, I would make a motion to approve the urban transportation planning process certification for 2016.
Motion?
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
We have no other items.
Okay, now we'll move on to item 6, Air Quality Committee report. And Mayor Savini, what was that report?
We did not have a meeting in August, but there is an update on the air quality issue with the Regional Growth Committee. Several reasons we didn't have our meeting. There was a failure to meet the PM 2.5 standard by 2014, which means the EPA will likely be redesignate most of the Wasatch Front from a moderate to a serious non-attainment area for PM 2.5. That means a new, more aggressive state implementation plan for controlling PM 2.5. Related emissions will be required to show attainment of the standard by 2019. Also, the entire Wasatch Front, with the exception of Brigham City, exceeds the ozone standard based on the three most recent years of data. In coming years, a state implementation plan for controlling ozone will also be required. I don't know how we control the sun, but... And lastly, Volkswagen agreed to a $10 billion settlement regarding falsified emission testing for its small diesel vehicles. Utah will receive $32 million of the settlement to be used for cleaner vehicles, for fleets, airports, and freight operations. Also, this afternoon, the COG for Salt Lake County unanimously supported a consideration for the legislature to again revisit the fireworks standards. As it stands now, July, you can have 3 days before the holiday, 3 days after the holiday, and the holiday that takes care of the 4th and the 24th, which is most of the month. If many of you have noticed that people don't know how to count those 3 days, they think it's five. And the number of fires that were started in Sandy, they said they had 24 firework fires. Is that correct?
On the 4th of July, we had 15. On the 24th, we had 18.
And other communities have indicated that they do have fire problems with the increased number. We are going to ask the Utah League as we go into our conference this year to have a resolution to take back to the legislature and say, at the very most, the day before and the day after, and then the holiday. I don't know how the rest of you feel about that, but that has an air quality impact. We got lots of air quality problems when we have fireworks, whether they're for city celebrations or citizens who are overly overjoyed to be rocket launchers.
We're just saying that every citizen wants sparkling at this point.
Yeah. Every other year. So I don't know if you would support us, those, the rest of you on the Wasatch Front, as we go into the future. We will come back with a resolution if we have one on the Utah League and come back and review that with you. But fireworks continue to be a bigger problem than most other things. And it costs about $120 for the month of July for me to deal with tranquilizers for my dog.
Plus the air quality, the lung issues.
Yes, right? The lung issues. I have nothing else to report.
Okay, thank you. Item 7, Mayor Caldwell will give us a report on the Active Transportation Committee.
Sure. We had two really exciting things happen last month. First, was obviously Commissioner Gibson and a bike helmet and on bicycles. Yeah. So appreciated that. But we had this small thing called a $20 million Tiger Grant that UTA received that we were very excited about. That $20 million, I think, was highly competitive, and it's going to do some amazing things for active transportation. It addresses first and last mile needs, and there are a tremendous number of projects that will be eligible for some of that $20 million. But that really gives a big lift and some legitimate push to a lot of the things that we've talked about a lot in these active transportation meetings. We appreciated UTA talking about that, taking the lead on that, and working with us all over the next little while to identify priorities and how that funding will become available and to work collaboratively with our communities to implement that. We're very excited about that. I also wanted to mention that WFRC is preparing an annual report on key performance measures, including funding, counts, safety, air quality, and active transportation plans. We talk a lot about user counts and how we can really take some legitimate information to the legislature and talk about how it's a must-have and it's being utilized now instead of just what some people see as a nice-to-have sometimes. So we've appreciated Wasatch Front Regional Council and kind of taking the lead on some of that reporting. We also talked about the Wasatch Choice 2050 Consortium and the Active Transportation Health Summit. As was mentioned, we had over 500 people there. We talked about some of the great takeaways from that. We were excited for that. Appreciated all the work there. One of my favorites, I talk about this all the time, but the Tour of Utah, I certainly appreciate the Miller family for their continuing to support that. It's difficult. The Tour of Colorado, one of the other largest professional level races in the United States, just folded up. Tour of California is really struggling, but the Millers have really done a great job of
growing that organically and giving that a lot of legs exposes a lot of people in our state to active transportation, makes a legitimate form of transportation. And I've said, as a guy that's been passionately losing bike races for 30 plus years, it's fun to see a whole bunch of people that actually know how to win them. But that really does come out of the Miller family, and we really appreciate their support and making that a statewide event. Youth Office of Tourism helps.
You won the bike race yesterday.
Didn't know it was a race, but I'll try harder next time. But they've really done a great service, I think, for advocacy in the state and healthy, active lifestyles, which I think is really important. And then lastly, considering the time, the Utah League of Cities and Towns has their joint mobile active transportation tour. Those mobile active transportation tours have been great. We just got back, as we talked about, from Boulder and Fort Collins. We want to go to those communities and see their best practices and talk to their planners about how they overcame challenges and funding and private property issues and how their coordination works. I think that's really important. If you haven't been on one, they're really mellow. It's we typically will get the bike share bikes. Everybody gets a helmet. And you stop frequently, talk about different things. It's a really great way to get out and see what different groups in our community are doing. And so that one is September 15th in the afternoon. So again, Utah League of Cities and Towns would love to have anybody that's interested come. I'm sure we'll look at what Ben Bolte and those guys have been doing with that great bike program, green bike program in Salt Lake, and a lot of the other things. So that's it. Thank you very much.
This means that I'll have one of those three-wheelers. I'll sit there.
If you'll come, I'll pedal it.
Mayor, we're going to get you a bicycle that's got an engine on it just to kind of help you.
It's called a motorcycle. Now, we haven't heard anything from Andrew today, but he has an executive report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The only thing I want to do is note that the new employee that I wanted to introduce is now here, Matthew Silski. Matthew, stand up, please. He's a GIS analyst and helping us do work that we described before. Welcome, Matthew. Mr. Chairman, that's all I've got for you.
Any other business anyone wants to bring up? Seeing none, then we've got the upcoming events on your agenda. And thank you all for coming. Thank you for participation. And thank you all for support of your. And thank you, Weber County and Ogden, for that great morning. I'm going to spend my next vacation. Motion to adjourn. Okay, Zach, can we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Aye.
Okay, bye.